This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Some new thinking and some time-tested thinking on getting people out of sidewalk tents and into safe places to live. I'm David Brancaccio in Los Angeles. The first milestone in Congress for a deal to stop a default by the U.S. government is expected today in the House Rules Committee. Let's turn to economist Julia Coronado, founder and president of Macro Policy Perspectives. Hey, Julia.
Good morning.
So is it a slam dunk? Congress is going to approve this deal worked out between House Speaker McCarthy and President Biden?
Well, I think markets are reacting positively. They were already sort of largely discounting that this was going to happen one way or another, but the bond yields are going down today, suggesting they're even more confident now that this is going to pass.
All right. And it's also busy at the end of the week when it comes to learning about how the economy is doing. We get the all-important hiring and unemployment reports for the month that's just ending. What are you thinking?
Well, I mean, myself and other economists are looking for more cooling in hiring, so a number maybe below 200,000. And the unemployment rate, though, still looks to be low, and jobless claims have remained low, so it still is a healthy labor market.
All right. We'll see actually how that plays out. Julia Coronado is also a professor at the University of Texas, Austin. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
The tentative deal to raise the borrowing limit holds non-defense spending, such as education, public health, and certain public assistance programs, flat. Now, where would this leave pressing challenges facing the country? Our focus this week is people without a place to live. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer now on the Biden administration's plan to end homelessness.
And if you go through here, my messy closet.
59-year-old Joseph White is showing me around his one-bedroom apartment in downtown Washington.
I cleaned it up a little bit because I knew you were coming over.
His rent is subsidized by the federal government. He pays $300 a month. The apartment is mostly furnished with stuff other tenants were throwing out, which White found next to the building's dumpster. His couch.
That table, that desk. That printer, those lamps.
White learned to be extraordinarily resourceful before he moved in here 4 years ago because he was homeless. White is an Army veteran. He left the service in 1994 and got hooked on crack shortly after. White was only able to get clean after about 20 years after he had a roof over his head.
It helped me a lot because I was able to start thinking about what I need to do without worrying about what's around me or who's going to hurt me.
This is the premise behind the Biden administration's plan, a theory known as housing first. The idea is get an unhoused person housed, then tackle drug addiction, mental health, and other issues. Jeff Olivet is a big fan of housing first. He's executive director of the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness, a federal agency.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi.
Sitting down in a conference room just about a mile and a half from White's apartment, Olivet tells me on average it costs $10,000 a year to get an unhoused person into a permanent home. And
on any given night in the United States, more than 580,000 people are homeless.
Olivet says President Biden asked for more money in next year's budget to tackle the problem, but Congress would have to approve that.
I'm keenly aware of the political nature of how things get funded in Washington, D.C., and it's a complicated situation right now.
Olivet says charitable foundations and the private sector should pony up more money to help the homeless. So should cities and counties. But Sarah Hunter, director of the RAND Center on Housing and Homelessness in Los Angeles, says you need federal money on top of that to really make a dent in homelessness.
Every day, more and more people are falling into homelessness. So without new support, that will continue to occur, and it's bad for everyone.
Hunter is happy the Biden administration is paying closer attention to homelessness. The plan does provide teams of federal workers to help communities cut through red tape to access existing programs. But Hunter says,
there's nothing really innovative or new about the plan.
Because that costs money. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Today, we also look at data showing the surge in homelessness in coastal U.S. cities cannot be explained by substance abuse, mental illness, or increases in poverty. It's about the availability of houses and apartments people can afford. Marketplace.org, if you missed that on the air today. The Marketplace series this week is called Finding Your Place, New Thinking for People with Nowhere to Live. Now, who makes big commercial airliners? Boeing, Airbus, and COMAC, the Commercial Aviation Corporation of China. Over the weekend, COMAC's new single-aisle jet flew its first cabin full of passengers. Marketplace's Nova Safo has that.
The weekend flight was an important milestone. COMAC has been developing the C919 for about 15 years. The plane is rather unremarkable. It looks a lot like the single-aisle passenger jets China hopes to challenge, Boeing 737 and the Airbus A320. Those are flown on regional and short-haul routes around the world. Last year, Boeing and Airbus delivered more than 900 of them. The C919 is not expected to challenge that dominance anytime soon, and many of its key components come from Western companies. European and U.S. regulators have not certified the aircraft, so it's most likely to be adopted by Chinese airlines. Still, that will cut into sales that would otherwise go to Boeing and especially to Airbus, which last year delivered more than 100 planes to Chinese airlines. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Also, China sent its first civilian into orbit today. One among three people headed to that country's space station. Payload specialist Gui Haichao is a professor at Beihang University in Beijing. In Los Angeles, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.